Have you listened to our episode recently?
Not recently.
So I've got a fine
bowl. My best friend, his brother, loves it.
Really? Listen to it.
I told him. I'm like, we've got like a Carlton WhatsApp group. There's me and my best friend, his two brothers, and my other mate, so five of us. Like, I'm recording a what's it called? Told him. He's like, yeah, man, I listen all the time.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, are you G to be on this?
You know how excited I was?
What do you mean, man? I called him last week, and he reckons he spoke to his missus for fucking 20 minutes about it.
He's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, don't worry.
That's the best.
I love it. I was pumped.
Welcome everyone to episode 8 of the Almost Boys Brothers podcast. I'm Joe, as always. I'm here with Dan and Jules. How are we, lads?
Not bad.
Good, Joe. How are we?
Good week?
Yeah, busy.
Very busy.
Would have been better with the Baggers win for the men's. Yeah. The women's got up today.
They did.
That was good. We're joined today by a fourth person who we'll intro in a minute. A very special guest today. But before we do, as always, just want to thank everyone. We've had overwhelming support again this week, especially with the socials up and running. How good was that, boys?
Yeah, awesome.
Great to get a reaction.
We've got 100
followers. Are we over 100 now?
We've got 100 followers already.
That's unreal.
Like, I didn't expect that at all. We are genuinely nobody, so I don't know who's listening to us. I don't know who's listening to us.
I told you, it's just our parents or like private accounts just writing love your work.
We've got big family days.
So yeah, look, if you haven't already, the socials on Instagram, it's at Almost Blues Brothers. You can follow our personal accounts as well. It's all there in the bio. You'll see today we've had a few comments and messages, questions and whatnot. We put up some polls and questions throughout the week, so keep following us. Send us your thoughts. Send us your...
We want to keep getting better, don't we, boys? So give us your feedback.
We'll share a few of those comments later in the episode. Some other news as well before we intro our guest. We're changing to Tuesdays at 10 a.m. We sort of thought, you know, Thursdays might be a bit late in the week. People want to hear some news and reactions a bit earlier.
Yeah, especially.
Why not? So you're going to get it on Tuesday mornings now. We've got a big show this week, who we're going to intro in a minute, like I said. But if you think this week's show is big, next week, make sure you tune in because we're doing an hour.
2 hours, wasn't it?
1 hour.
1 hour.
1 hour special.
We're doing an hour next week. In prep for round one versus the Tigers for the men's. And we're going to go through our predictions, each of us, for the 2021 season.
And we're doing the show live from Icon.
Why are you milking it? You're in milk, mate. No, it's going to be an hour, so make sure you tune in. It's a big one next week, previewing the season ahead. So now, let's get to it. We've got a very special guest here today. We've got Matthew Fascini, lifelong blue bagger. How are you, mate?
Good, boys. Thanks for having me.
No, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Absolute pleasure.
I want to give the listeners some insight into Matt before we start. He was a former under 23 for Australia playing
Correct.
Soccer.
Absolutely.
Melbourne Victory as well.
Yes.
And then you went to Thailand, and now you're at Oakley. In the NPL. What the fuck happened, mate?
Fell off a cliff. It didn't go to plan. It's a bit of a roller coaster of a career.
Is that where you saw it going?
Yeah, for sure. It's always the dream to end up in the southeastern suburbs.
That's it. You peak early.
I haven't peaked yet, boys. Just a bit more fire in the belly.
Nah, you forged a very nice career for yourself, mate. It's good to have you on. Now, you're not just a blue bagger, but your dad, Silvio Fascini. He was a trailblazer in our sport, and I'm sure a few listeners would know that name. He was, and you can tell us a bit about this, but he was essentially the first player in the VFL to request a trade. He played for South Melbourne. I'll let you actually tell the story.
Yeah, so Dad obviously played in the 80s, got drafted to South Melbourne, and then they obviously moved up to Sydney permanently. When he was playing, they were kind of travelling up and back from Melbourne to play on the weekends at the SCG, and then the club relocated, and he kind of said, I don't want to, you know, I got my family, and, you know, he'd met my mum and they were engaged and whatnot, and he wanted to, you know, spend time in Melbourne and not move, and the club and the AFL kind of wouldn't let him per se, and he, you know, he took the AFL to court for, I think it was restraint of trade was, you know, the correct term, and yeah, it was a back and forth thing. He was only 18 or 19, went to all the way to the Supreme Court, and yeah, ended up going his way, and, you know, played for St Kilda for a few years after that, and yeah, unfortunately, his career was cut short. He had four shoulder recos, I think, by 23. So, yeah, he played, you know, 100-odd games for both teams.
Still
but,
good.
Yeah, fair
unreal.
Effort. For,
it's, like, it's unreal.
Yeah.
100-odd games for 22, 23.
Yeah, 100%. That's
really good. Really good for, you know, a young kid from the suburbs, from immigrant family, you know, just, yeah. Awesome. I've always looked up to Dad. And
did he want you to play AFL?
No, my dad's, you know, the most easygoing person, just never pushed us, me or my brother or I, to play footy or any sport. He just, whatever you guys want to do, just enjoy yourself. Obviously, love my footy, but he supported me throughout my whole soccer career. I probably wish I leaned on him a little bit more through my career, but kind of wanted to be a bit more independent. But yeah, Dad, always looked up to Dad, and yeah, obviously super proud that he, you know, he played AFL.
Was your dad first or second gen?
So he was born, you know, 1 year, I think, after my nonna got to Australia from Naples. So he speaks fluent Italian and whatnot, but it was a proper Italian upbringing. You know, he tells me stories all the time. He, you know, used to practice, you know, in the street, kicking between two light posts.
Oh,
and
that's
cool,
awesome.
Old school,
I love
like
that.
Old
yeah.
fashioned,
that's
and
nice.
All the kids that? Would congregate from all the houses at a certain time.
Hey, here's an idea. What if we got Silva on the show and we did the whole podcast?
Would
in
your
Italian.
Dad do it?
For sure.
But did the whole
Italian.
Podcast in Italian.
You're taking it. I can't speak it.
Are you fluent?
Yeah.
Oh, he'd love it.
I can barely speak.
Doesn't mind a bit of airtime, old Silvio.
No, yeah, we'll keep that in the back pocket. That's a big guest.
That's a huge guest. Mm.
That's unreal. So I think Dan, you know, he asked it. Why did you choose soccer over footy in the end? Because I know you've told me in the past that you actually played footy as a youngster. What changed? Where, at what point did it change? Where did you feel like soccer was more suited to your personality?
It was more just my family and, you know, my cousins and everyone. They all played soccer. So I just wanted to, for lack of a better word, fit in with those guys and just, you know, play and whatever. And, you know, I realized at a youngish age that I was pretty good. And I thought, you know what, I'll pursue this. And as I got into my teens, I made a few different representative teams and whatnot. And so I just took it from there. But to be honest, I love footy more than I love soccer. Like I watch a bit of soccer on TV and that, but like I obviously won't miss a Carlton game. Whereas if my soccer team, Man United or Juventus, are playing, I won't mind missing games here and there.
Yeah.
I love footy. I love watching footy more than soccer. Maybe because I played it professionally and it was day in, day out for you know, 6 or 7 years. That, not that I got over it, but I just wanted a release.
Mm.
But yeah, like you said, growing up, I played a lot of footy. We lived next door to Waverley Park, so I used to go down to Waverley Park with Dad and my brother and kick the footy.
Oh, we can tell you love it.
It's footy's my passion. Soccer was, I guess, my job and what I was better at, but my passion is definitely AFL.
Sensational. And the Blue Baggers, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, can the Blues!
what are your early memories as, well, what are your favourite memories as a Blue Bagger?
Obviously not too many of late.
Like, would you remember like the 90s a little bit?
Yeah, well, fun fact, you probably don't know this. I probably should have prepped you on when I was really young, let's say two or three years old.
I was going to throw in a statement saying, who was your first team?
Hold on. Is this true?
This is 100%
Dana
true.
Joseph. I can't believe it.
It's Dana Joseph.
My brother was Carlton. Always, he's 2 years older than me. Always Carlton. But I used to actually, when I say support, I say go for West Coast. Only because as a kid, like the coverage wasn't anywhere near as good as it is now, but they were Sunday afternoon, always on TV. So I just used to see them.
Yeah, yeah.
They were just playing. And so I just used to be like, oh yeah, I like this team, whatever.
They had a bit of success.
Yeah, obviously early 90s, 92, 94, when I was watching them, they were good. So I just, you know.
Were fixated.
Yeah, fixated with them. And then there came a time, yeah, just before, I think it was the end of 94, my brother was like, mate, enough's enough. It's Carlton.
Why are you going
I'm
for
like,
them?
Yeah. Cool, man. Yeah, we're all in. Carlton, obviously, we won the granny. I have vague memories of 95. I remember 99 grand final pretty clearly. But my best memory of as a Carlton fan, probably 2013, you know, against Richmond. I was there. We came back in the first final down by 35 points, whatever it was, and big comeback. Juddy put the team on his shoulders.
Remember that?
Thanks for coming.
Remember that?
We watch it back all the time, me and my mates. It's unreal.
I think we're going to watch it back.
Well, we're going to talk about that next week in the preview.
Oh, there you go.
That's a big one. That is a big one.
That's probably...
Judd's going to get a big... Actually, Judd's going to be getting a big mention
next week.
Big mention.
Let's
keep that under wraps.
I can't wait to introduce it.
We'll give the listeners a bit of a preview on the socials during the week of what we're going to do with Juddy.
We don't even need words. It's just a photo.
No, you need a bit of an intro.
Yeah, we'll give a bit of an intro. We'll introduce it. But that's for next week. For next week.
Let me just jump back in. And one other thing.
Yeah, go.
That's a game memory, but every round one since we've been playing Thursday night, we've got a little Carlton chat group that we, my mates and their two brothers, we go to a restaurant before every Thursday night, round one game, then go to the game. We've been doing it for the last 4 or 5 years. It's a little ritual we have and love it. Like, it's really enjoyable. No matter the result of the game, it's our thing we do. And, we'll keep doing it until we can.
Beautiful, man.
I've had something to bring up with you now.
I'm worried.
No, you don't need to be worried now. But it's been eating me alive since I was about 19. Now, you don't remember me, and that's fine, because I was a nobody when I was playing soccer. But you nutmegged me.
Another left wing.
Yeah.
Another victim.
And you nutmegged me. And I'm pretty sure you said Megs as well.
Sounds about right. I can't remember, but I was known to call it out a little bit now and then. So
I had to get off my chair because I feel like we've got a connection.
But Dan, that's not for Shitty's fault. Close your legs, man. As a defender, especially.
No, well, I lunged, and he seen the opportunity. I was very slow, so it wasn't hard.
I think I remember you slow, yeah?
Jules, actually, while we're on it, you got a bit of history for Sheedy a couple of years ago at North Geelong. Not you yourself, but...
The team, yeah. I played alongside him, or against him.
Yeah, but do you remember what he did?
Bit of headbutt. Fuck.
He did a scar. He headbutted the teammate. How's that?
Yeah, who did he headbutt?
Are you going to admit that now for Sheedy or not?
He's proud of it. What do you mean?
Yeah, it was a bit of contact. I'm not sure how much force.
All right, Dan's got a quiz that we do with all our guests.
Yeah, speed round.
It's a speed round.
I love this.
So
this is it.
Matty, you're going to have...
I've heard it before.
How it works is you and I need to pretend we're in a room, just you and I. Look at me deep in my eyes and it just bang, bang, bang.
Let's do it. All right.
So, are you ready?
Ready.
Let's do it.
Taking my eyes off you.
First thing that comes to your head.
First memory is a blue bagger.
95 grand final.
Favourite memory is a blue bagger and why?
Favola's goal against Adelaide from the boundary at the Adelaide Oval.
Oh!
How about the mark?
That's gone on our socials.
That's gone on our socials.
100%. What do you think of that question so far?
Not bad.
This one's the one.
If you were stuck on a deserted island, who are the two people you definitely do not want to have there with you?
Joseph, number one.
I knew I'd get a mention.
Number two, who do I not want there? Probably my wife, actually. She'd be telling me what to do. I've got no escape.
I was actually going to throw one at you. Ange Postecoglou.
Not my favourite bloke. He's all right.
Would you have him on a dessert island? Let's change the answer. Go.
Joseph and Ange.
Out of the three of us, who's the best looking and why?
Dan.
I need to give him a hug.
Take
me
up.
I need to give him something.
It's just a connection, man.
They've had a connection since they walked down. They have. You two actually have.
I walked in, I gave him a little wing, and he's gone,
We're on here.
All right, let's settle. Let's bring it back on track. I'm going to preview the rest of the show here.
These speedrun questions are good.
This is out of control today. I'm going to preview the rest of the show. We're going to review the Community Series game against the Saints, all four of us, which we all watched and we're all up and about for. We've got an AFLW review as well versus the Cats. And the votes as well, best and fairest. Votes. Maddie Prasparkas was back.
With a bang.
And I think she's going to extend her lead in our votes tally as well.
It was a solid performance.
And a quick AFLW preview versus Fremantle for next week. So let's get into it. Saints, Community Series. How good... So... obviously, I went with Jules and Dan. Maddie, you didn't get to go.
I watched on TV.
You watched on TV. Yeah. But Jules, Dan, how good was it to be back at Marvel Stadium?
It wasn't. It was just a pre-game as well. Pre-game, getting there, seeing the boys warm up.
Even though there was only, what, 20,000? It was.
I think it was less. There was less.
There was less, but it felt like more, didn't it?
There was 10. There was 10, and it sounded like there was 30.
That's right. It was
a few times where there was a few controversial decisions with the umpires, and man,
it was loud.
Like, we're back.
It was loud.
It was.
We're literally 5 meters from the boundary umpire, and were we giving him a spray?
Could you hear it on TV?
Oh, I was just about to say.
Yeah.
On tally, I didn't even realize there was that little people.
Only 10.
I thought 25,000.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yeah.
It was... Well, initially, that's what we thought they were going
to
be there.
But
yeah,
it's the whole thing about walking to the ground. That whole thing of walking to the ground. You're hearing. You're seeing both teams. The supporters, like the atmosphere, the build up to, you know, to the bounce, and how good is it?
You take it for granted. Take a lot of things for granted the last year, but, you know, the little things like walking to the footy.
Yeah, just... but even the pace of the game.
Yeah, well, let's get into the game.
The game, when I watched it back,
yeah,
it was quick.
I realised what both sides were unbelievable. Yeah. The tempo was really high.
Yeah. It was a shootout.
You're right.
Yeah, it was like from the get-go... The intensity was there. The skill level was unbelievable. I thought it was super clean. It was a practice match, so defensive side of the game probably wasn't there as much.
We had a little bit of an argument during the game.
We did, but St Kilda got through the corridor very easily.
I was getting frustrated because I just felt the transition on turn when we turned the ball over was just we weren't, and there was too many holes.
Before we get into really dissecting the game, final scoreline 15-9-99 Carlton. St Kilda 19-11, 125. Goals, 3 to Silvani, which was unbelievable to see. 2 each to Pitnet, Oscar McDonald, Zach Williams, Zach Fisher, who was...
Hey, that sidestep right in front of us.
He broke his legs.
Murphy
sidestep. Generally snapped them.
Murphy had 2 as well, and Sard and Cunningham had 1 each. Yeah, I mean, like we said, to begin from the start of the game, it was quick. It was frenetic.
It was fast. It was the fastest footy game I've seen for a long time.
Yeah.
But I will agree with Dan. We just, every time we turn the ball over, we just got punished. And Saints were rapid.
There's a lot of Saints supporters, goal side, once the ball's turned over. They just spread. It's like they knew that the ball was coming.
Well, you saw what they did. As soon as someone picked it up, it's like they didn't even care. They just knew where they had to run. And whether they got it or they didn't, it was the same patterns that they do. It was unreal to watch. Yeah, Ratten has it nailed. Yep.
I said last week, I had him pegged for top 4. I don't see that changing. I reckon they jump in.
You told me, Chuck, during the game, you told me Chuck a grand on top 4.
Sounds like something you would say.
Did I do it?
No. They genuinely looked phenomenal.
Brad Hill, he's the key to them succeeding this year, I think. But let's not talk about them. Let's talk about, obviously, us.
Yeah, and let's talk about... We're talking about the pace of the game. There was a new rule that we got to see for the first time. Man on the mark. I want to know, firstly, well, 2 things. Do you love or do you hate it? And do you think it made a difference?
I like it. I think it does make a difference. I think some teams, I think St Kilda done it very well. There was times where, I can't remember what player from the Saints was doing it, but they were sort of guarding the corridor if it was out wide. Or, for example, if they're a right footer, they're sort of standing towards that side about 2-3 metres behind, so then they could still get that movement once and be in front of them once it was called, then they could go and press up.
Yeah. Did anyone notice the St Kilda player standing 10 metres back off the mark?
And that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. That's what... Are you... I tuned out, I was fine. All right. Get it going.
I didn't tune out. I was looking at the run sheet. But
fine, and add it to the tally.
All right, hold on. Just for everyone listening, the fine tally now is, and it's a $1 coin donation each time,
because
we're going to rack up hundreds regardless. Yeah. I'm at $4 after 2 episodes. Dan's on $1. Jules, you got nothing against your name.
Clean slate.
Very good.
And the viewers actually pegged you as the loser of this fine.
They did. Some of the listeners said
they did.
Jules is going to pay for the end of season 2.
Yeah.
I still think that's going to be
Warren
the case.
From One Turner South.
It's no Warren from One Turner South.
It was.
What's up? You're listening now, mate.
Matty, what did you think? Watching on TV, what did you think? Did you see a difference on TV with this man on the mark rule?
I did. I'm not a massive fan of it. For me, the man, I know you guys said Saints tried a few different things, but man on the mark's almost redundant now, and I'm not sure I like it. But like any of the new rules, you get over it after a while and you just get used to it. Teams adapt to it and you play on. Like, it's frustrating. And I just think the only thing is, It's going to be some costly 50s, yeah. And it's such a harsh penalty for the game's gone a million miles an hour, and then you expect the guy to stop, and his instinct is to do what he usually does last year, the year before.
Yeah.
But it's the only way you're going to learn.
Like, but these 50-meter penalties, it's literally, they can't move their feet at all. They can't
can't move your feet.
They can't move their feet on the spot.
But I think they can move their feet until the umpire says stand.
I listen. Yeah. So when I watch the replay back, I actually noticed this. Until they say stand, you can do whatever you want. And if you, like you said, Jules, if they're 5 meters back from the mark, the umpire actually says free to move. They actually say it, free to move. So there are, it's quite distinctive.
There's elements when you can and when you can't.
It's quite distinctive in terms of the interpretation.
The thing that I don't like is the fact that all these rule changes, the umpires, they're making poor decisions based, because there's just too many rules. Mm. There's too many rule changes that I don't think the umpires actually know what decision to make and what not.
Yep.
No, so it makes it hard for them.
It makes it hard to officiate. Because they've got to change as well their mindset.
Yeah.
So I think all these rule changes, it's just going to, I don't know if it's going to keep ruining the game, but the man of the mark rule, like, I don't know why you needed to change it.
I'm actually a big fan.
You're a fan? I don't see why
I'm a big fan. Do you know why I'm a big fan? I'm a big fan because it's going to benefit us. Adam Saad.
Yeah.
Yeah, run and dash. It happened a couple of times, and it happened in the Essendon game the week prior in that match sim that we had. He just runs at his man and gets straight around him. He gains 30 or 40 metres on his kick.
Well, I just think you're changing the integrity of the game.
Absolutely.
And come on. Like,
that's what I think. I think no matter how much you get used to it, it's going to come back to bite a team, whether it's us or whoever, somewhere in a big game, and it could be the difference. And it's such a harsh penalty for something that's, you know, not such a
severe. Soon there's going to be no tackling, got to touch him. And or pull a tag from
the
shorts.
Teams and coaches these days, they're so easily adaptable to. They adapt it to make sure that it's still on their terms anyway.
Well, like you said, they're already doing it. Like exactly Jack Lonnie did it, he stood 10 metres back. We've said that 3 times now. I think they're going to get used to that pretty quickly. I like that though, because what the teams are doing is they're saying, I'll give you 10 metres as long as I can as long as I can move and cut it for 45. You're either standing there as a statue and you're allowing that 45, or you're standing 10 metres back, allowing 10 metres more for the kicker, but you're cutting off the corridor. And I think you're going to see more teams doing that. I think you will see more teams, Jerry, and do that a lot more. So, we spoke about Adam Saad. He was one of the new ones. His goal from 50.
Fast. He's rapid. Quick. You can see it on telly.
Oh, he's so quick.
Did that get you out of your seat, that goal? Seriously.
He's like Aaron, but he just runs, and then he's like, you know what? I don't need to go to a second, third gear.
No.
And then he waits. He's like, oh, yeah, I might need to now. Then does he goes again, and just easy. He does it with ease.
It looked so good watching him for once, obviously, as a blue bagger.
He's a big asset.
Massive asset. He's a bit feast or famine. Like, he'll go for some kicks, which you don't mind. Like, he's going to set up some
serious... Take it on.
Yeah, take the game on. I'm all for it. So, and that goal, got me out of me seat on the couch. Oh, that's for sure.
So good. Zach Williams, Dan, is he in trouble for round one? Early on, that bump on Hunter Clark, and it was genuinely first bounce of the game.
Yeah.
He's got... You know what?
I like it, because he wanted to... I didn't mind it because he's setting a tone. He's sending a message out. Yeah, but I think
he's in trouble.
I think he's gone.
I think yeah.
Hunter Clark did play. Like, he came back. He played.
Apparently, he had to have a concussion test after the game.
He did, and the fact that he did means that.
But if you look at the footage again, it's high.
Like, it's high.
Yeah. And it's high.
And he
went for him.
Well, he left the ground too.
Yeah. Oh, so, that's right. Exactly. Yeah.
He ticks a couple of the boxes that usually leave you in strife, I think.
So, unfortunately, I think sitting here, we're not going to see him round one against Richmond. But you know what? It's not about round one. Like, this is a full season. If he misses one game, fine. But I'm with you, Dan. He showed aggression early. He showed his intent early. If he brings that all season, it's something we haven't had in this side for years.
But not only that, if you watch him closely, he's aggressive throughout the whole game. He's an animal. But him being out for a week, I'm not worried because we've got a lot of depth in the midfield. So I've got confidence in our midfielders to be able to play that role.
100%.
I think Zach has to still make that transition from halfback to midfielder. I think maybe that extra pressure with his disposal, I reckon he just needs to clean that up a little bit. Yeah. But what an asset, kicks goals.
Yeah.
Goal-scoring midfielder.
Kicks goals.
We haven't had that for a while.
He kicked two every week.
And he kicked two out of stoppages. He just burst through.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And I feel like as if that's what we needed, particularly that.
And Teague said that. Teague did say that he'll be going forward because he has got an eye for goal. So
obviously missing him round one, okay. What do we think on in regards to Harry, Nunes, and Weeders? I know post-game, they said they're all right.
They'll play.
So Wiedering had a corky in the hip.
Yeah.
Which, and in Teague's press conference, he didn't seem fazed.
When they when we saw him on the floor.
Oh, my head was in
the was that?
Here we go again.
Yeah.
So Wiedering, yeah, corky to the hip. I think he'll get up. Harry just tweaked the ankle that he tweaked against Essendon. So Teague actually said they just took him out straight away. They didn't
smart.
Even look at it.
Smart.
Absolutely, it's smart. And Nunes rolled his ankle as well. You'd think
that was a bit of a whack.
Yeah.
I could hear it.
He actually got his, he was lucky. He got his leg caught underneath the tackle. And I've seen a leg break.
Oh, yeah.
So many times in that instance. So he's very, very lucky. It was only a bit of a tweak to the ankle. So I think all three get up. I hope all three get up. Because they're all very important.
And we're getting Casbolt
back.
McGovern back.
Betts played VFL.
Yeah. Speaking about, so obviously we're without Harry, we're without Levi, we're without McGovern basically for the whole of the Saints game in the community series. We still kicked 99 points.
Good.
Thoughts? Like, that's 15 goals. When was the last time you saw us kick 15 goals with a depleted forward line, especially?
Yeah. I love the way our forward line's working at the moment, particularly the smalls.
Mm.
Zach Fisher.
He was on.
He was best on.
Yeah, 100%.
He is electric, creative. He has everything.
Do you know what I love about him? He's, obviously early on, it was deeper. Then as the game went on, went up the ground. Even around the ball, some of the stuff he was doing, the move he done in front of us was breathtaking.
No, the quick feet around Jay Gresham. Nice. Hey, you know what? I hammered Jay Gresham.
Gresham's still stuck there now. They're trying to pull him out of the grass.
Toe truck.
Actually,
they're trying to get him.
Do yourself a favour. In that, it was the third quarter. Go back and have a look. Afterwards, because it goes to a stoppage in our forward line, have a look at Zach Fisher. He actually points at Gresham and does the wobble of the
No way!
He
does.
Do yourself a favour and go and watch a replay. He takes the piss out of him. And you know what? I love that from Zach in terms of personality. Like, you need character in a small forward.
Not only that, Joe, he has confidence now.
He does.
But Jules, T gives him the confidence. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I think he's giving him a role where it's just, mate, do what you need to do.
He doesn't have to think too much. He's not micromanaged every decision he makes.
Do what you need to do.
And he's like that. He's a very skillful player.
He can create something out of nothing.
You need to embrace that.
Yeah.
On the socials this week, at Timmy Gregory sent us a bit of a message saying we were still wasteful going inside forward 50. It was nice seeing J-Sos grab some. Cripps isn't a forward, but he loved the look of Lockie Fogarty. So, Timmy, thank you very much. At Jimmy _Laser, when he was speaking about the Saints game, the umpires look good killing us as usual. # holding the ball. 100%. We've got at Callum 35. Fish was in everything. Hard to not like Zach Williams' game. Always looked like he was going to create. I agree there. Ari Soldatos, do you take anything from the Dons' performance against the Cats in the community series and appreciate our win anymore? To be honest, I don't read too much into that.
Not in preseason.
But thank you everyone for the comments, the messages of support. What do we think of that?
That's my biggest pet hate over the last few years. Our inside 50 efficiency frustrates me. I mean, we've got so many good targets down there, but we always seem to blaze away. We rarely lower the eyes and look to spot someone up. It takes someone of, say, Murphy or whoever with a bit of polish to lower the eyes and finally spot a target. We get so much ball out of the middle, so much ball out of stoppages, but we just waste it. And against better teams, St Kilda obviously being one of them, you're not going to get away with it in the season. So I love that we win the ball, but I agree there. We need to definitely be more efficient going inside 50.
Yeah. I think Oscar McDonald's going to play a decent role.
Well, let's talk about him. He kicked two goals. And that was obviously a bit of an acid test for him and a bit of a game for him to go, I want that final list spot. There was one spot left. It's either him or Callum Moore as those train-on players from the preseason. He kicked two goals. He looked really good up forward. He was a defender at Melbourne, played 83 games down back for them. But he went forward in a depleted forward line and he actually had a presence. Even coming up the ground on the wing, he took a few clunks.
He had a little spell down half back as well.
Yeah, and he did throw him back as well. So I think he can actually be a pretty important player.
I keep saying this to everyone. When Melbourne were having their really good run, he was in their starting lineup, you know?
Yeah,
so
he was too,
yeah. Yeah, he was. So I think he would play a good role for us.
Yeah. My only thing is in terms of in the ruck. So for example, if you have Pitto go down and the King go down, then you got Casbolt and potentially McDonald.
But McDonald held himself in the ruck. He did hold himself.
Do you reckon?
I think he held himself okay.
I don't think we can bank on him.
I'm not going to bank on him, but if it's last resort.
Maybe a game or two.
Yeah, if it was last resort, though.
Any more, we could be in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you didn't like what you saw?
Oh, not that I didn't like. I just share the same concerns. I think you can't rely on him as your backup ruckman or to take a significant load in the ruck. Nothing against him. Obviously, when he's down forward, he proved.
But that's why Deconning coming back's huge.
Yeah. Hopefully
we can get him back sooner rather than later. Yeah. Because then that solves that problem.
With that said, Pitnett's shown himself to be... Oh. He could be our number one ruck all season the way he's playing. And he kicked another two goals.
He's kicking another two goals.
Yeah. I think he had like 37 hit-outs or something.
I'm not going to say that he is like him, but Matty Cruz is in our ruck coaching department now. Yeah. The way that Pitnett was grabbing that he grabbed that ball out of the ruck, shoved, I think it was Paul Hunter for the Saints, out of the ruck contest in our forward 50, grabbed it out of the ruck, snapped for goal. That's Matty Cruiser. All over.
Yeah.
The tractor.
Well, honestly.
No, it is. Yeah. So he'd be imparting his knowledge to him for sure.
The influence there is...
Exactly.
In terms of other sort of players in the midfield, I've got two here.
We
spoke about last week.
Dow.
Paddy Dow.
Yeah.
Not as influential, not as impactful, but clean. I still feel he was very clean.
Clean.
Very clean. And still had about 17, 18, about 70% game time.
Hands, he had 14 handballs.
Yeah, but by hands, he's always been good. He's always cleaned through it by hand. By foot, he's fixed that up.
Cleaned it up, which was nice to see. I mean, in previous years, not his strength, but he does accumulate the footy. And if he can clean up his kicking efficiency, which he has shown... You know, on the weekend, I can't see why he can't play a big role.
Yeah.
I've got confidence.
I think he
starts round one.
He plays 22 games.
But his decision-making is spot on as well.
Yeah.
Especially by hand.
In traffic as well. And
the amount of clearances we got from his handballs were...
It's not even that. He's been tackled and he's still able to... He hits targets still.
Yeah,
I'm going to call him Ablett.
Ablett, wow. Listen to him. I called him Judd last week. You called him Ablett this week.
Let's not hype him up too much.
And when you're at the ground at the game, you realise Lachie Plowman, how much he talks. He commands.
He's a bit
everyone.
Of a general back there.
Oh, he is. 100%. He just directs everyone. And it's good. Yeah, really good.
You pointed it out in the second quarter, Dan. Because we're right on the fence, so we could hear it.
Yeah.
And he was loud.
He was vocal.
He was directing traffic. And 2 years ago, he wasn't doing that.
But it wasn't even that. He wasn't even directing like the defence at some stage. He was directing like... It was around a stoppage.
For everyone.
He was like 30, 40 metres behind.
At one stage, he pointed to the box and even Teague. He goes, Teague, sit down.
I think with Simpson gone back there, obviously need another voice, another leader. And he's stepped up.
He stepped up
which is fantastic. Because, I mean, the more talking and leadership we can get back there, the better it is for everyone.
So important. So important. Centerfield, for me.
I told you, give him a role and he'll do it.
I'm sorry, he's just a role player.
Give him a role and he will execute it.
I still feel like as if he can go to another level, though.
He will go to another level, but I just love how he's been given... So, first season, he got given a role on the wing and he developed into a decent winger by the end, and it was his first AFL season coming off an ACL. He was decent in that first season. Second season with us, he gets given a role in and under as a tackling machine and averaged 6 tackles a game almost last year. This year... In the preseason games we've seen, he's a halfback interceptor. Like, at what stage in your mind, when you think about Will Setterfield, did you ever think in your right mind that he'd be doing that? And he's executing unbelievably.
You give him a role and he'll do it. Yeah. But he's really important.
He's a utility. He's becoming a utility.
That's right.
He's a bigger body as well. He can do a variety of things, which you need those kind of players, particularly if you get injuries or some players go down or whatnot. He can fill any role.
Jack Silvani. That's who we want to talk about next. I hate when he does this.
No, he's got a spot.
It doesn't keep it organic.
How about Joe and Sauce in the stands?
So, did you see that on Instagram?
It's a Chemist Warehouse.
Honestly, but it's true. Sauce, give us something, man. Your son's just kicked 3.
He's still doing.
Yeah, he didn't want...
He could tell. He was obviously happy for his boy, but he didn't want to be seen on camera.
No, he's dirty with the
clapping or whatever.
Joe giving him a nudge, like, G up a bit.
He didn't want to borrow.
He would have got a backhander when he...
I mean, oh, yeah. it's shit because Sauce is obviously a legend of the club.
But you know what I love about Jack?
Why are you acting like a child? Like, you got sacked. Get over it. I'm sorry. Move on. Like, you're reserving for the club. You did what you needed to do. You got the sack. You didn't get the sack out of anything that was out of the normal. Like, you spent your time there.
Given a long time to
a long
to
time.
Do,
yeah.
Do what we thought he would do.
He set us up.
Yeah, he set us up. And I don't want to be able to celebrate that, but the way that he's acting, especially with AFL Trade Radio last year as well, the way he hammered the club, what I saw on the weekend when Thursday night, with you're a legend of the club. Like, act like a legend of the club. Don't be salty.
To be honest with you, I love the way Jack's gone about it. Yeah. Even in regards, not just on field, but off field as well, in regards to that element of it too.
Yeah.
But Jsos on field, even though he was playing second or third tall, whatever it was on the weekend, kicked three goals.
I know
we had this discussion and we said, I think you used that, Joe. You said you couldn't do it.
He's
done it once.
I was concerned.
Pre-season.
Yeah.
Do you think he can do it?
Well, I was concerned after the Essendon game because he had no impact at all.
Well, in the first quarter, he actually goes, he's nowhere.
He was
nowhere.
But how's this? When Harry went off and Jack became the only target that we had next to Oscar McDonald. So when Harry goes off with that injury, Jack just went to a different level. I don't know. He just took it with both hands. Like, watch the first quarter. Watch Jack, what he was doing in the forward 50. Watch him after that. Two different players. Like, so... I don't know. You're asking me if I'm still concerned? Yeah, a little bit. I don't want to roll with Jack as our number one tall all season, but he's shown that he can back it up if he needs to. Obviously, round one's around the corner. Let's hope we can get a ticket. It sounds like it's going to be pretty difficult.
I've got a few tickets, boys.
Oh,
hello.
Set us up, please.
I've pretty much guaranteed AFL Gold Carlton Club support. I'll be there.
Eyes? Oh, look at that. This is
why I knew we got you on the show for a reason. We're meant to be giving him the prize, and he's giving us the prize.
He's gonna walk up.
You honestly got tickets for us?
I got tickets for me.
Oh. We jumped the gun.
Oh, I'll see what I can do, boy.
Women.
Solid performance got the job done. That's what you want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, very solid performance. I'll just roll through the match summary. So, 10 goals, 4 to Carlton, 64 points. Geelong, 4 goals, 7 at 31 points. At Icon Park. And then the goals for Carlton, Gibbs 2, Vecchio 2, G 2, Stevens, Pounds, Bruce Sparkers, and Plain, 1 goal each. Thoughts, in terms of our start, now... Midway through the commentary, I think it was the first quarter. I'm not too sure if you've seen it, but the commentators said
that... I watched the game, Jules. So of course
you
did.
We on the phone, you said you didn't watch it.
I watched the game.
He
in series.
He actually did.
What? Hold on. No. Don't try and stitch me up. I watched the whole game.
Anyway, so...
Nah, that's... I'm ready to fine you, because that's bullshit.
That's crap, because you know what happened? I got text messages to prove it. You know what? We'll put it up on our socials. Okay? He goes, and you need to run the female segment. Yeah. The women's segment, because I didn't watch the game.
No.
Pretty much, along those lines.
No. Stop. You're copping
along
a fine.
Those lines.
You're copping a fine for this.
Along those lines. Did I not say along those lines?
Hold on. Shh. I'll read out. I'll
actually get the message. I'm going to read it out.
It was along the lines of I didn't watch all of it.
You're in trouble.
I said,
he's deleted his message.
I haven't. Here. You run the... Tell me whether or not...
I'll read it.
No. You run the women's conversation today. I'm all over it, but you direct it.
Oh.
Jules, no, stop. Put your phone down. Fine.
Double.
Can I look at my message?
Double. Nah, because you're lying.
It's false accusation.
Jules, you're stalling. Thank you.
All right, so
that's the first fine. That's
what
the first
they did
fine.
What they did say, though, is, in regards to Sarah Hosking, that she would set the tone early in games, okay? Obviously, without her being there, it's been pretty detrimental to us. What do you think about those comments from commentators?
Seriously, like... We came out and then we blazed away.
We blazed away one by...
Like, you're going the early crow. Seriously. 100%. You're going the early crow there.
We ended up kicking 4 goals after that.
Yeah.
Do your role and commentate the game.
That's
how hard is it?
Yeah.
Don't give us your added thoughts about who we're missing and who we're not when we're up by 30 points.
Silly comment. Taylor Harris missed today, but we still kicked 10 goals.
Yeah, there's a wide spread of goal kickers there.
Dad, Taylor Harris missed today. And we still kicked 10 goals.
I gave her two or three votes once, and you say that I froth her.
You do.
No, she had a good
she's
game.
She's had no impact. I'm sorry, she's had no impact this season.
She had one good game.
She got dropped for a reason. Early, she's had no impact.
She had one or two good games.
Early on in the first quarter, okay, what was it? Particularly early on, when I was watching it, we were not bringing the ball to ground, or if we did bring the ball to ground, Geelong was just running out of D50 with the ball, okay? And just going into the midfield. But, and I was thinking, oh, Harris isn't there. You know, she's not bringing the ball to ground. She's not clunking them. What are we going to do? All of a sudden, after that, our smalls went to work.
They did.
Especially Vescio.
Vescio, Georgia G.
Lively. With those kind of girls going.
Yeah. Mimi Hill got injured.
Yeah.
Did she? I think knee. Yeah.
Hold on. Did she, Jules?
Jules, that's
first quarter.
I didn't watch it.
Double fine.
That isn't fine.
Hold on, because you're
lying. I don't think so, too, man.
You are lying through your teeth.
I didn't say I watched the game.
Jules,
all I want to hear is a clink. Off you go.
Put the coin in, Jules.
Fuck. It's two today for Jules.
And then I'm off swearing because we've got young listeners.
No, relax. You swore earlier.
I apologise.
You did not.
But Darcy Vescio,
she's hitting her straps. She's hitting her straps at the right time.
Yeah, some of the things that she was doing, the pressure she was applying, the goals that she kicked, there was one, like, obviously in the forward pocket. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
Jules, when you actually watch the game, go back.
He's milking you now.
It's all seriousness. I want you to look at McAvoy, Harrington, and Gab Pound's game because they were sensational today.
What I love about Harrington now is, she was, I don't know if she, in terms of last season, but this season, or not this season, but now this game, the way she was dashing out off the halfback flank.
Yeah, she had 21 touches.
Yeah, she had 21 touches. She did. Those three, though, in particular, they were fantastic.
I'd love to see her meet his game, though.
For me, watching the game, Jules, I think... I think Maddie and Loins back in the side as well made a massive
difference. Yeah.
You saw that. Maddie wrapped it up for Sheen.
For sure. For sure. 100%. Yeah. I watched bits and pieces. I'm not going to say I watched the whole game. I'm not a liar.
All right. You know, I'm actually fining you. Hold on. You come on our podcast.
But your fine isn't the coin. Your fine's the AFL membership.
No, how's this? Your fine is still the coin. So you still pop in a dollar, but you're not actually coming on the end of season trip. You're just paying for it.
I wasn't sunbaking, boys. I was working. So, just pop in and out. Fine. I play by the rules.
Yeah.
But
and your membership.
Yeah. Well, okay. I did love Vescio today. A lot of highlights of her.
Yeah.
Goals, goal assists. So she was in everything.
She was like, she was everywhere. She was actually everywhere.
Have a Maddie Bisparkis. She did not miss a beat.
No, she was good.
I was having nightmares, but start of the second quarter when she was on the bench, spent there about 4 minutes.
She did an elbow.
After that, Bart came out like nothing happened.
She's like, tough. Yeah. She's but tough as nails.
Speaking of injuries, we'll go back to what you said, Dan. Mimi Hill, fourth quarter, tweaked her knee, and it looked bad.
Well, she walked off
with help.
It was one of those ones where she just planted her foot. It was her left leg.
She would have strained the ligament or something.
Yeah. You're never going to know. It's never good.
No, man. Correct.
You're planting it into the ground and something happens, but...
You could walk off and there could be...
still be an ACL.
Exactly right.
Yeah, that's right. But more positive than not that she was able to walk off.
But I'm just
spewing. We'll wait to see. Spewing because she's been good.
Spewing for her. She was in line for the rising star. 100% she was up until today.
She's been really good.
So let's hope. I mean, at the time of recording, we actually don't know the injury, but let's hope it's nothing too bad. Mm. She can get back.
Yeah. How about our performance? Top eight. Where do you think that sits us?
It keeps us in finals contention. Top six, Jules.
Top six, Jules. Fine.
Oh. I don't even know. It's top six. It's not top eight.
It's top six. Fuck. You're actually on top of the leaderboard now.
Nah, it's three.
Is it three or four?
I'm four. You're three.
Sorry. But
you copped it today.
I'm happy to contribute.
You're gonna be contributing a lot more.
For my beers.
Look, I think it keeps us in contention, but it's still difficult from here for top six.
Votes.
It's still very difficult.
Votes, boys.
Let's get into the votes. Maddie, I think you're in with us today.
I am.
You got your votes lined up.
I do.
That's right. We'll come back to you. I'll start today. I don't usually start. Do you want?
Thank God.
Is that right? I want to give a shout out to a few players you mentioned because it was hard to do the votes today.
Yeah, it was.
There was a lot of performances where I thought sensational. Harrington, Gibbs, Mackay, Vescio, O'Day, and McAvoy all unlucky not to get votes from me. Honestly, it was super super difficult for me. One, Jules' girl, Georgia G, two goals.
Yeah.
Looked lively.
Oh, I didn't. Think,
I actually loved her game.
I didn't expect that.
Actually loved her game. She looked desperate and she had a smother in the, I think it was the third quarter. had a smother when Collingwood were trying to enter their forward 50. Just showed her desperation all day. Kicked two goals. I think she was sensational. It's what we. It's actually what we need from her. Grace Egan, again, two votes. Like, racked it up. And looked unbelievable from the early going. And three votes, Maddie Prasparkas. 27 touches, a goal. Didn't miss a beat. Genuinely didn't miss a beat.
27 touches.
Yeah. Who's next?
I'll go. Where you want to go, Matt?
I'll go. Maddie's I'll go. Team. I had Egan one vote. And I had Vessio two votes. I don't know if Joe left her out, but she was in everything from what I saw. Two goals, goal assist, and then obviously Prasparkas three votes. Can't go past that them. Performance, no, I don't you think,
can't.
Boys.
You can't go past them.
So I've got Vessio as one. Obviously, we've explained enough now what she did. Two, I went Harrington. I explained it earlier.
She was two to Harrington, yeah. I think she was good.
Two to Harrington.
I think that's fair.
And obviously three for Prasparkas.
Unbelievable.
All right, so Darcy Vesh. 10 disposals, yeah. One vote. The two goals, I think she, even in terms of her forward half pressure, was instrumental, particularly in the first quarter, to get us going. Egan, 24 touches, four tackles.
For two votes, Jules.
Yeah, for two votes. I can say it at the end. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're going to have it today. I can't help you with that.
Anyway, and three votes for Prasparkas. 27 touches, goal. Beautiful.
What's the leaderboard?
Three tackles.
Well, let me start. Let me tally this up.
Prasparkas 900.
I thought you'd have a spreadsheet going.
I do. I actually do. That's what I'm doing now, Jules.
He's got it.
So, in third spot, Nicola Stevens, 11 votes. Second spot, Darcy Vesio, 14 votes. She's had three games where she's pole votes.
She's been unreal.
And she's second. So imagine if she started well. She might have actually been able to push Maddie a little bit. But Maddie Prasparkas, number one spot, 45 votes. I don't think she can get
unassailable.
She has a 31-point lead with three rounds to go.
I believe in
Vesio. She can't lose. She actually can't. Maximum votes.
Have you done the maths?
So do we do that? Do we just run through the rest of the votes?
Maximum votes.
Like the brown.
Maximum votes you can get is 27.
Well, then I'll write on the gold class voucher, I'll write her name.
Did you go and buy it?
I've got the gold class voucher.
All right.
Put it on. I've got it.
She can't lose.
Done.
Maddie is the inaugural Almost
Brothers.
AFLW, best and fairest.
Well done.
But really, is she the fairest?
That's a good question. Is there an asterisk? We'll talk about this during the week because she got suspended.
Yeah,
it's
not a bad shout. She could actually get ineligible.
Throws a spanner.
Like the Brownlow. Absolutely. Get suspended.
You know what? We're going to.
Jules.
We're going to decide on this during the week. We'll put it up on the socials. We
really should have some rules.
That's actually a very good shout.
That's
she
good.
Could actually be ineligible because of her suspension.
You know what? I'm going to give the fans, I'm going to give our fans a vote. I'm going to run a poll.
Done. I like that.
So, on the socials this week, look out on our Instagram story. We're going to run a poll on whether or not you think Maddie Prasparkas should be eligible for our inaugural Almost Blues Brothers AFL Best and Fairest Award.
Due to her
considering
suspension.
That she was suspended for a game. That's good from you, Jules. You know what? Done. How's this? You can have a dollar back.
Keep it in there, boys.
Yeah.
As I say every week, clubs AFLW members will be given priority to attend in 2021, along with free entry to all five of the Blues home games for those with a $100 or $200 package. As always, 100% of the profits from AFLW memberships go towards supporting the women's football program. If you're not able to purchase a members package, what's it going to cost you, Dan?
It's a Banjo Patterson.
$10. Get down to Icon Park next Sunday. Matthew Fischini, thank you very much for joining us today, mate.
Thanks for having
me, boys.
We'll have
you back on whenever you want.
Please do.
It's been good.
Love to be a regular.
You're a
couple of AFL membership, a couple tickets.
You're welcome. I told you, you're welcome in all our homes.
Dad's trying to milk you for tickets.
He's genuine. We had something from when
we first laid out. I'll have you over from my house for a barbecue.
That's it. Perfect.
And then we'll go to the game together.
Boys.
Lock it in.
Up the baggers.
Canada, boys. Yeah.